Good morning. Some of you are way back, aren't you? Anyway, I think with the help of, we don't need two, do we? Thank you. We have been studying the book of Romans during the Sunday mornings from way back, a number of weeks or months ago. And we've reached chapter 15, Romans chapter 15. It was read at the beginning of the service. Some were not here yet, possibly. So we're going to read it again. Romans chapter 15, 1 to 13. And I'm reading from the King James Bible. It'll be a little different, possibly, from the Pew Bibles, which is the New International Version. We then, that are strong, ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good, to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision, which means, as the NIV has it, Gentiles, for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, For this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. And again he said, Rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. And again, Isaiah saith, there shall be a root out of Jesse, and he shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, and him shall the Gentiles trust. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And that's the end of our allotted passage in the book of Romans. Someone's going to take on from there next week. But this is a wonderful portion of Scripture. I've really enjoyed reading it over and over again in three versions. The NIV, the King James, and the ESV, which is a rather new translation of the Bible. It's good to read in other translations. It helps to understand. You know, the Bible was translated out of Hebrew, the Old Testament, Greek over the New. And so when you have different versions, the effort to get to as much of the real original meaning as possible. And that's what we hope to do. Now, if you look at verse 5, you have, now, the God of patience, the God of patience. And the last verse of our reading, now, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. Isn't that what you want? Joy and peace. And then the last verse of this chapter, and that'll be for the next speaker to enlarge upon. Now the God of peace. These are three delightful titles of God. He is the God of patience, God of hope, and the God of peace. That's our God. And that is the God we preach to you. And of course, it's the Lord Jesus who has brought all of these things to us. He is the God of patience. He is the God of hope, and he's the God of peace. Now then, if I were to give this little message, this little study a title, I would call it How We Are to Do. Put it all together. How do you do? And throughout this chapter, we have a number of how to do. And the first is in verse 4. Or verse 1 and 2, rather. Verses 1 and 2. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. So, this is how we're to treat each other. We're not to look at others as below us. And we up there, we have that in Philippians as well. We're not to consider ourselves individually or even collectively as better. We're to treat our neighbor, our friends, our Christian friends, and help the weak to bear the infirmities of the weak. And so we're to care for each other. And if there are just newborn Christians, they need our care to help them grow in grace. Verse 2, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. That is, we're to encourage each other to grow in the knowledge of the Lord. And that's what we try to do Sunday by Sunday and through the week. We try to do that. Verse 3. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, and here's a quote from the Psalms, the reproaches of them that reproached you fell on me. Now this is what the Lord Jesus said and did. The reproaches of them that reproached you, me, fell on him. When? When he died on the cross of Calvary. The Lord Jesus died on Calvary, and our sins were laid upon him. It's something like this, I think we could illustrate it. I was a sinful man. You're a sinful woman. We're a sinful woman. And the sins, my sins, your sins, were laid on him, and he bore them, and I'm free. That's a wonderful truth of Scripture. Now, some people teach or believe that so far as God's concerned, as long as we do the best we can, that's all he could desire. And there are those who go through life with that hope. As long as I do my best, God can't expect anything more than that. Do you always do your best? I'm afraid not. I know I didn't. And I still don't do my best. We falter, we fail. And the unconverted, the one who is not saved yet, well, he doesn't do his best, ever. The Ten Commandments were not written that we might follow them the best of our ability. The law came, was given by God to reveal the sin that's in there, the sin of my heart. But when I trusted in the Lord Jesus, then those sins were taken away. I still look back with fond memories, well, over 60 or 70 years, well, 70 years, I guess. When I came home from a gospel meeting in our little public school in northern Manitoba, I'd heard the gospel for the first time in that summer of 1943. There was about 6 inches of snow at that time in December. I knelt in that snow and said, Lord Jesus, I want you to be my Savior. I want you to come into my heart. And he did. When I stood up and finished the journey home, I was a newborn Christian. Now, of course, I need others to help me. And I found that in many ways. Other Christians that can nourish me, teach me, and lead me. And that's what it says that we're to do. Now in verse 4, we have a very important verse. For whatsoever things were written before time were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. You know, the Bible is divided in two. The Old Testament, written in Hebrew, by Hebrews, but by the inspiration of God. And we can start at Genesis and read through. You have to read quite a few chapters a day of the Old Testament if you're going to read it all in 1 year. I think I started in January of this year for the umpteenth time over these 70 years. And you can do the math and see if it's right, okay? That was 1943 I became a Christian. How long ago? Anyway, I started in January, and my readings now are in the Psalms. And then when I finish it, I'll likely go back to Genesis and start over again. And that reading in the New Testament started in Matthew, just finished Revelation last week, consecutive, following chapter by chapter by chapter. That's how we are to read the Bible. But what about the Old Testament? Is there anything in it for me? Well, this verse says, yes, there is. What does he say? Verse 4. For whatsoever things were written before time were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures may have hope. So the Old Testament Scriptures lead us to hope in Christ. All right. How do we live? How are we to live as an assembly? Well, we've been reading that too, verse 7. How are we to receive Christians? Wherefore, receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. As you read even in the book of Acts, there's some very helpful hints how we receive Christians. I like to read about the Apostle Paul. He was Saul of Tarsus, and from Tarsus. He'd become a Christian on the road from Jerusalem to Damascus with the purpose of taking Christians prisoner to be bound, imprisoned, or even killed. So he became a Christian. You can read about that in chapter 9 of the book of Acts. And it says that immediately he began to preach Christ Well, when he came to Jerusalem, they said, no, not him. Not Saul of Tarsus. And it was a dear man named Barnabas had taken him by the arm. And Barnabas introduced him as a Christian. And he was received immediately. He wasn't told to sit at the back seat for 6 months. He was received as a believer. Chapter 13, and now we're down to verse number 12. Verses 11 and 12, very important verses. From verse 8 down through to 12, Paul is here writing about the hope and interesting that he has for the Gentiles. And he wanted to see them working together. And that was quite a task that Paul set for himself under the power of God, to bring together the Jewish Christians and the Gentile Christians, Gentiles who are becoming Christians too. So there's a number of references here. Start at verse 8. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision, minister of the Jews, for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles may glorify God for his mercy. For this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles, and to sing unto thy name. Again he says, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. So he's trying to merge the two, the Jewish believers with the Gentile believers. You see, Paul had gone out as a minister, as a servant of God among the Gentile people. And there were people saved in every place he went and preached. And they were bound together as Christians. But for the first while, they just seemed to be completely separated. We're the Gentiles, they're the Jews. And the Jews have no dealing with the Gentiles. And the Gentiles are sort of proud of their position. And they were sort of keeping apart. But Paul's trying to bring them together. And in the writing of Romans, he starts in chapter 3, where he asks the question, what advantage then has the Jew? And then he goes on through that chapter to say, well, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all in the same sinful box. But God had mercy, and that's what he says here. Verse 9, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. So Paul wanted to see them together. And by the end of Acts, you can see the result of that desire. Verse 11 again, praise the Lord, ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. And again, Isaiah said, there shall a root of Jesse, and that he shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, and him shall the Gentiles trust. Going back again, I want to pick up something in chapter 13, verse 8. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises God made to the fathers. There are those who say that God is finished with the Jews. Here, Paul reiterates that God keeps his promise. And he made a promise way back in Genesis chapter 12, chapter 15, and he said, I've given you this land, and it's yours under me. And that promise is repeated over and over and over again. I'm going to turn back to the Old Testament near the end of it, to the book of Amos. It's not the last book, but it's getting close to the last. And this verse, I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel, and they shall build their waste cities and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof, shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. Now I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land, which I have given them, saith the Lord God. So this is God's promise, reiterated over and over again. I've just chosen this one typical verse from the Old Testament where God says, my promise is good, and I intend to keep it. And so Paul refers that here in the 15th chapter of Romans. Verse 8 again. For the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. So over and over again now in the New Testament, we have the promise repeated, reiterated, that God is going to return to Israel. Now right now, Israel is in its land, but there are 22 Arab and Muslim countries from one end to another. 22, and Israel is being squeezed. And they're going to have to leave the land eventually, but God will bring them back. And Jesus will come to reign as king. What a day that will be when Jesus returns for his own. Chapter 15, verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. How do you want joy and peace? Now, as we worked among young people at camp over 50 years, we often talked to young people. And I remember some saying, oh, I'm just searching. I'm just searching. Well, they were searching with their back to the truth. And it just meant wandered off. Sad story, repeated many times. But we'll read the rest of the verse. Now the God of hope, it's his title, God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace. Now, he doesn't say, through seeking and searching, says in believing. And it's faith in the Lord Jesus. Faith brings hope, it brings joy and peace. Now, after these 70 years, I can look back and say, all the way my Savior led me, can I doubt his tender mercy? Truth through life has been my guide. Yes, we can vouch to the mercy and grace and the joy and peace that he has given. Read it again. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. The Lord God gives us his Spirit to live within us. So I look back and realize that that night, knelt in the snow, asking Jesus to come into my heart, the Lord Jesus brought his Spirit. And in John chapter 14, chapter 13, the Lord Jesus said, I will give you another comforter, and he shall be with you. He shall be in you and with you. And that's the blessing that the believer has as he or she trusts in the Lord Jesus, that God's Spirit comes in and gives the power to live a victorious Christian life. And so, if you're saying, well, I'm just studying it, I'm searching, well, remember, Jesus is the answer. He himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me, but he is the way to the Father's heart. I want us to turn in our hymn book to number 330. 330. Can every soul by sin oppress, there's mercy with the Lord. He will surely give you rest by trusting in his word. 330. Thank you for the simplicity of the way of salvation through our Lord Jesus. We thank you that the reproaches that were ours fell on him. And we thank you that the way of salvation is so wonderful, and we pray for each of us in this room. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.